भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, the 68th chapter, verse 37, the marriage of Samba. Is it there? Yes.
Yasyangripa pankajarajo kila lokapalaya. Mao to Dritam upasita tirta tirtam. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvadhema chiram asya nripasanamka. Yasyam gripankajarajo kila lokapalaya. Mayuta mairaditam upashita tirta tirta. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam pa. Yasyam gripanka jarajo kila lokapalaya. Malyutam mayadritam upashita tirta tirta. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam pa. Yasyam gripanka jarajo kila lokapalaya. Malyuta mayajita mupashita tirta tirta. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam pa. Yasyam gripanka jarajo kila lokapalaya. Malyuta mayadritam upashita tirta tirtam. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam pa. Yasyam gripankaja rajo kila lokapalaya. Malyuta mayajita mupashita tirta tirtam. Brahma bhavoham api yasya kala kalaya. Chirsodvahematiram asya nirpasanam pa.
Vaishnavis?
Yasyangri pankaja rajo kila loka palaya. Mayuta marjita mupashita tirta tirtam. Brahma bhavoham apiyasya kala kalaya. Shrischodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam ta.
Somebody else?
Yasyangri pankaja rajo kila loka palaya. Mayuta madrita mupashita tirta tirtam. Chishodvahema chiram asya nirpasanam pa yasya,
whose,
angri,
of the feet,
pankaja,
lotus-like,
raja,
the dust,
akila,
of all,
loka,
worlds,
palai,
by the rulers,
mali,
on their helmets,
uttamai,
exalted,
dhritam,
held,
upashita,
worshipable,
tirta,
of holy places,
tirtam,
the source of holiness,
Brahma,
Lord Brahma,
Bhava,
Lord Shiva,
Aham,
I,
Api,
also,
Yasya,
whose,
Kala,
portions,
Kalaya,
of a portion,
Shri,
the goddess of fortune,
Cha,
also,
Udvahema,
carry carefully,
Chiram,
constantly,
asya,
his,
nirpa-asanam,
king's throne,
fa,
where,
translation
and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace,
Esu Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
The dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage, is worshipped by all the great demigods. The principal deities of all planets are engaged in his service, and they consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their crowns. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune and I, are simply parts of his spiritual identity. And we also carefully carry that dust on our heads. And still, Krishna is not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne. Purport. The above translation is based on Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the place of pilgrimage especially referred to here is the Ganges River. The Ganges water is inundating the whole world, and since it is emanating from Krishna's lotus feet, its banks have turned into great places of pilgrimage. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Chinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Vishesha Shinivari Pachachare Satayane Om Aganat Mirandasya Ganandana Shavakaya Chakshaya Annavitam Jena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Mangayate Girinyat Kripa Twamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam. So this verse is coming in a series of exclamations by Lord Balaram. He's speaking in a very incredulous manner. How could this be? What are you saying? Am I hearing what I'm hearing? And glorifying Lord Krishna, and in his mind, or soon to be quite vocally, contesting the accusations and the diminutive exclamations of the Kauravas. So I'd like to speak today about, and I know somebody had, yesterday, Dhamraj Prabhu spoke about anger, and before someone spoke about envy and other things that have caused this situation to happen, that Dhritarashtra and even others who are not as obviously demoniac as Dhritarashtra have taken this position where they're accusing Krishna even, as Balaram points out here, and all the Yadavas of inappropriately being kings, that they're in their position just because of our mercy, and whatever they have because we gave it to them, and we could stop giving it to them at any moment. They seem to have forgotten this. So this kind of attitude. And this attitude comes from an attitude of familiarity, and familiarity breeds contempt. So familiarity breeding contempt is something that Srila Prabhupada has cautioned us about several times in his books and in his speaking to us and in his writing to us. He's spoken a lot about how we should beware of familiarity, because familiarity breeds contempt. And we saw it even in Srila Prabhupada's own personal servants, that some of his personal servants became too familiar with Srila Prabhupada and ultimately began thinking of Prabhupada as an ordinary person. Because you see somebody engaging in activities, just normal activities, getting sick and being weak and getting maybe angry sometimes. There was one incident where Prabhupada was on stage and some people were grabbing at the skirts, the saris of the women who were dancing, and Prabhupada became furious and he started to swing kartals. And then later he was criticized by some of the audience for getting angry. How can you get angry? You're a sadhu. Why are you getting angry? But here Lord Balaram is getting angry, and we see that many devotees become disturbed and upset. So how do we deal with this situation? Because if we become too familiar, then we cross certain boundaries. And those boundaries are there to protect us. So there's an expression called maryada. Maryada means boundaries. It also means respect. Prabhupada uses it in several different ways, and it's spoken in the Bhagavatam. It's also spoken in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya, he congratulates Sanatana Goswami, and he says to him that you're following this Vaishnava etiquette. Maryada also is the following of Vaishnava etiquette. And because you follow the Vaishnava etiquette, in this case, Sanatana was avoiding going in front of the temple. He was walking on the hot sand, avoiding going in front of the temple because he felt he was contaminated. His body was full of sores, and he didn't want the pujaris to brush against him and then go in and serve the Lord, and there would be a very great offense. It would be a great offense to the Lord, great offense to the pujaris, and so he went out of his way to avoid them. And Lord Chaitanya congratulated him. He said that you're following this maryada, this etiquette, is the mark of a sadhu. And you've made me very happy by doing this. You've made me very pleased by doing this. So there are several areas where Srila Prabhupada has particularly cautioned us to honor this principle. We have in the Bhagavatam, for instance, when Uddhava was approached by Vidura to give him knowledge, because Uddhava had just heard from Krishna, and so he was very qualified. He was a very intimate servant of Krishna, perhaps the most intimate servant of Krishna. And so Vidura came to him and said, please give me knowledge about Krishna. And Uddhava refused. He actually sent him to Maitreya, who was less advanced, Prabhupada points out. Maitreya was actually less advanced than Vidura, at least at that moment. But But because Maitreya was older and because Vidura was much older than Uddhava, there was a fear of committing an offense. Committing an offense by stepping over, inappropriately stepping over a senior devotee. And if one does that, then he commits an offense called Maryada Vatikrama. That is the offense of impetuously surpassing a greater person. And we, in this society, the Western society, the modern society, won't even call it Western anymore, it's kind of like all pervasive. So in the modern society, this tendency to commit this offense of ignoring seniors, of not dealing in respectful manner with each other, and especially with older persons, older in terms of spiritual advancement, but not only older in terms of spiritual advancement, older in terms of age even, that or there's certain other relationships which demand respect for a teacher, respect for a person in a position, who's given a position. We've noticed that Prabhupada, even in dealing with persons who were in materially superior positions, the president or a minister to the government, he would speak to them in very honorific terms. Your Excellency, you've been put in your position by Krishna, and therefore I'm offering you our respect. And so he would take that this very, very humble position and offer appropriate respect. Yudhisthira was in a situation where one of his fathers, his older father, he called him, Dhritarashtra, was involved in a plot to damage Yudhisthira's sovereignty and take away all his possessions. His son was completely envious, and many, many people advised him against doing what he asked, but still he did it. And when he asked, he invited Yudhisthira to come for the gambling match. Yudhisthira, out of respect for the elder person, his father, and also for the position, he was in the position of king, how can I refuse? Even though so many people told him, don't go. You'll be sorry if you go. You'll be getting this gambling match. Dhritarashtra's going to cheat. He's got Shakuni with him. Shakuni's got these dice. Look out. You're headed for disaster. But Yudhisthira would not commit the offense of disobeying his elder father and his king. And he went. And it was quite problematic. It resulted in 14 years in exile and lost the kingdom and ultimately the Battle of Kurukshetra. So we have this this order. And Srila Prabhupada has given us, in particular, this order on several occasions. He spoke to us about it in regards to, first of all, deity worship, that we should be very careful not to get too familiar with the deity. And this is why sometimes we hear that we're supposed to be worshiping Lakshmi Narayan. But the reason we're worshiping Lakshmi Narayan is because with Lakshmi Narayan, there's awe. With Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, there's no awe. And if we go on the altar and we try to relate to the deities without awe and reverence, we commit offenses. We become too familiar with the deities, and then our attitude becomes offensive. And in that offensive mood, we do things which not only damage our relationship with Krishna, but in the moment, but damage our relationship with Krishna long term, because we're committing offenses. And by committing offenses, we suffer very greatly. We should realize that we're serving the deity for our benefit. Sometimes I get letters. I said many times that I answer letters for Krishna.com. So one letter I got was from it turned out she was a young girl. I didn't know she was a young girl at the beginning. But she wrote me and she said, I don't understand why Krishna needs shiny clothes and why my mother spends so much time offering incense and ghee lamps and cleaning the altar. I have a lot of Christian friends at school, and they tell me that this is all just a waste of time. Krishna doesn't need all these things. He has everything. And so I don't understand why Krishna needs, my mother makes him shiny clothes, why we have to go buy stuff. So I wrote her and I said, actually, Krishna doesn't need any of those things. Actually, your mother is doing that for her benefit and for your benefit. That Krishna is doing that for your benefit. He's receiving these things for your benefit. He's pretending, not in a pretentious way, not artificially pretending, but he goes through the emotions, the experience of being a child, of having a relationship with his mother, of acting in a way that appears to be a normal person, a normal meaning in the material world, so that we get a chance to serve him and to develop a loving relationship with him over time. At the same time, that apparently normal presentation bewilders atheistic people, and they think Krishna is just normal. And that's another example of familiarity breeds contempt, that we see. Prabhupada brings up this point that in his preaching in India, the boys, they say, Swamiji, you know, where did it get us, right? All these years, our grandparents, they were worshiping Krishna. Some of our parents are worshiping, but where did it get us? Our country is so behind financially. We don't have anything together, right? We're spaced out. Technology is where it's at. And the Prabhupada quotes, he says, technology, we need technology, we don't need Krishna. What do we need Krishna for? We're worshiping Krishna for so many years, where did it get them? They didn't even invent the iPad, right? What's the use? So familiarity breeds contempt. They see it again and again, and it becomes a ritual. And we see it even with Christianity in this country, or maybe we see it with whatever spiritual tradition we found ourselves in with when we were young, that we tend to take it for granted, and we no longer value it. We no longer take the essence and see the importance of it. So we deal with it in a casual way, and we lose the benefit. Prabhupada also talks about this fault of familiarity breeds contempt in regards to our own husband and his wife. He talks about how a woman who's the wife of a man, after a while, they take each other for granted, right? This is just some guy, and this is I've been with her for so long. She doesn't even comb her hair anymore. She doesn't bother taking care of things. She just warms up some old spaghetti for dinner. I don't really worry so much about anything. I just throw my clothes everywhere and leave a big mess. And together we do this, we become casual about our relationship, we become offensive with each other, and the result is that we don't stay together. We go looking for other partners, new people that we can respect for some short period of time, because they give us some kind of payoff, some buzz that we get temporarily. But if we don't honor that position of respect, because it's a position of respect for no other reason, we don't need a reason. There doesn't have to be a payoff. In itself, following that etiquette is a payoff in itself in terms of our spiritual life. And that's why this term mairada, which also means respect and which also means etiquette, it also, another meaning of it is boundaries. That we set up boundaries. Those behaviors, they make boundaries for us, where if we cross them, then we become subject to danger. So we talk about mairada and then raksha. It protects us. It protects us. In this verse that Lord Chaitanya, I spoke earlier, spoke to Sanatan Goswami, I'll try not to mutilate it too badly, he said, Yadyapyo tumi hau jagat pavana, tomas parshe pavitrahai deva muni gana, tatapi bhaktas vabhava maryada rakshana, maryada palana hai sadur bhushanam. My dear Sanatan, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. So The Vaishnava etiquette, not only we should protect it, but it protects us. It gives us boundaries so that we don't get pushed. You know, yesterday I heard, I didn't hear the class yesterday, but I heard it was about anger and how sometimes we get pushed by anger. Vacho vegam manasa krodha, 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 vegam, right? We get pushed by anger and we get pushed by so many other things. And when we get pushed, we go places we don't want to go. We get forced to go places we don't want to go. So if we have boundaries, then that prevents us from going somewhere. Just recently, I was visiting somebody. They have a pool. They also have a baby. And the baby is 3 months old. And the pool is like only inches away from this sliding glass door that leads into the living room. And I kept saying to them, before this child starts to crawl, you better do something about the swimming pool. This pool needs a boundary. Because if you don't have a boundary, that baby is going to drown in that pool. There's every chance that that child will be in danger. So you need to protect the child by putting up a boundary. And we're children. We're spiritual children. So Prabhupada protects us and the Vedas protect us by putting up boundaries. Prabhupada brings up in the Sri Upanishad that in this age of Kali, the lack of respect is obvious in the fact that children give their parents headaches by being disrespectful, right? And we see it all the time. And it's allowed. It's condoned in our society. We try to see everybody as all one. So, you know, kids call their parents by their first name. And even students call their teachers by their first name. Everybody is very familiar, backslapping familiar. But that backslapping familiar, it seems to be very nice on the outside. It seems to open up doors for closeness and intimacy. But in reality, what it does is it breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so then we lose the opportunity to learn from people who are wise, from elders, from teachers. We lose the ability to learn from them because if we're all equal, what can they teach me? If I know everything, then what have you got to tell me? So we put a barrier there. We see when the sages meet Sukadeva Goswami or Sutta Goswami, they have a very respectful attitude. They see somebody, here's somebody who knows something I don't know, who has achieved success in spiritual life, which I have not achieved. And so therefore, let me put my head at their feet, both physically and mentally, and let me hear from them. Let me open my heart so that I can hear from them and let their words enter into my heart and do something there. Let it work on me. So in our present society, it's a problem because we're afraid to have respect. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was with us in 1974, the GBC members, we were in Gurukul in Dallas, and the GBC members would come and visit, in Vrindavan also. The very senior devotees would come, and they'd visit. Some of them sannyasis, some of them not sannyasis. The GBC men weren't always sannyasis. But when they would come, they would be greeted, and we would, you know, offer them a seat, we would offer them flowers, sometimes we would wash their feet. We would, and this is Prabhupada was present. So that respectful attitude would lead us to the next step, which is sit down and listen. Right? Say a few words, please. Say something. Now we have an attitude of fear to be too respectful. Because after all, he may not be worthy of my respect. And if I give him too much respect, that may be a bad thing. But for us, from our point of view, too much respect is never a bad thing. And then Srila Prabhupada talks, even in terms of our own friends, that familiarity breeds contempt has a deleterious effect. He speaks the story. He tells the story of his friend. So he says his Guru Maharaj used to cite an example of someone who was now a high court judge, right? And someone else goes to somebody and says, oh, did you see our friend Puchu? He's achieved the position of being a high court judge. And the man says, well, he and I, we were friends together. I used to, you know, throw mud on him and chase him. We used to play together when we were naked. He couldn't be a high court judge. No way. And they said, yeah, really, I saw him. I saw him sitting on the bench. He's a high court judge. He says, well, if he's a high court judge, it must be that he's not receiving any salary. So Prabhupada points out that because of, you know, you think, well, we're equal. We were playing naked together. We have to stay equal forever. There's no way that guy could become so advanced that I have to offer him respect. So it must be that he's just volunteering his time as a high court judge. And Prabhupada points out that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thought process. But because of envy, there's a subtle layer, maybe not so subtle, layer of envy. Therefore, I cannot see people who used to be equal to me become senior. I can't recognize their achievements because it causes me pain. I don't feel comfortable. So this position of familiarity breeds contempt, and avoiding the protection of Vaishnava etiquette, or maybe put it in the positive, staying within the boundaries and the protection of Vaishnava etiquette is very, very important. And I see that in many places, not only in devotee dealings, but in regular life, there's etiquettes for everything. I had an experience when I was in San Francisco visiting my daughter. So, you know, San Francisco is a pretty low boundary place in many ways. They everything is all one there. But they have some boundaries, some interesting boundaries. And there's very strong etiquette for those boundaries. If you cross them, you get in big trouble. You know, people shun you, and you no longer become popular. People won't go to your shop. So many things. So I won't talk about all of them, but there's one of them that I found particularly interesting, because my daughter has a car called a Leaf, and it doesn't use any gas. Runs on electricity. And so in San Francisco, in California in general, but in San Francisco in particular, this is a very popular thing, and they have charging stations all over the place. And some of them are trickle charge, which means you have to stay there the whole day while you're working. You plug in your car and it charges while you're working, and then you can drive home. But some of them are fast charging. You plug them in for half an hour and they charge your car. And so my daughter pulled into one place, and there was a person there whose car had already charged. And she was not sure what the etiquette was, whether she should pull out the plug and use it in her car, or she should leave it and try and find another place to charge her car. And so she went on Google, you know, the all-knowing Google guru, on her cell phone, and looked up etiquette for car chargers. And there in the etiquette for car chargers, it told her what to do. It said the proper etiquette is you can leave him a note that says, I came and your car was fully charged. The charger said that it was fully charged. So I unplugged your car and I charged my car. And that way you could, that's the proper etiquette, so you could do that. So she was concerned. She didn't want this guy he'll never see in her life. She was concerned that she would offend him. And so she wanted to follow the proper etiquette. And when we were driving also, right, we have etiquettes, how we pass. If someone breaks the etiquette, we get angry. We start honking horns and screaming and sometimes using explicatives and different hand gestures. You know, there's things that happen when people cross etiquette and we become upset. So etiquette is there to give us shelter, to protect us. And in the Vedic literature, we have many examples. This is one here we have in this pastime. But there's other pastimes where people didn't follow etiquette and it resulted in disaster. Look what happened to Roma Harshan Sutta, right? He didn't stand up. Balaram took a blade of grass. Goodbye. He just didn't stand up. Daksha, he had the same problem with Lord Shiva. He got angry at Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva didn't stand up. He didn't see that he was in a superior position or recognize that he was a superior, but he didn't do too well either. He also lost his head and got a goat head. And there are many, many examples. Brihaspati and Indra. Indra has a problem with this over and over again, right? Govardhan Leela and the Parijata flower, and then again with Brihaspati and the garland. So many different things because he gets too proud and he starts to think, hey, no one's better than me. No one's better than me. So it all connects back to the number one quality that Prabhupada recommends for us in terms of making spiritual advancement, and that's humility. That in order to be able, willing and able, to practice Vaishnava etiquette appropriately, one has to have a humble attitude. Instead of seeing that no one is more, who the hell are you, because you're, I'm older than you, or I'm better than you somehow, I'm more advanced, I'm richer. In our society, that's the number one thing. I'm richer, I have a bigger car, better car, bigger house, my Easter bonnet has more flowers on it. And because of all those things, I'm superior to you. And you have to respect me, I don't have to respect you. But this is not the appropriate behavior for Vaishnavas. And so we should take the protection of Vaishnava etiquette and not commit very, very dangerous offenses. There's one quote I have here, if I can find it in this mess. Yes, he says, transgressing the law of Mairada Vatikrama, or, casually relating to a senior devotee, committing offense, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, his fame, his piety, and the blessings of all the world. That's pretty heavy reactions that you get. So we should be very cautious to allow the boundaries to protect us. If we cross the boundaries, like we have that story of Sita, although Prabhupada says it's not in the Valmiki Ramayana, but we still, everybody knows about it, the story of Sita and the circle around her that Lakshman drew. That circle was there to protect her. So if she crossed that circle on her own, then she was no longer protected. Otherwise, if she stayed inside that circle, no one could hurt her. And if we voluntarily accept the circle of Vaishnava etiquette, then we will be protected from committing offenses, even though we may be pushed by anger or some other need, physical pushing or mental pushing. If we stay within the boundary of proper Vaishnava etiquette, we won't commit offenses. And we're fortunately in this age of Kali, we're not responsible for what we think. We're only responsible for what we do. So if we could keep it at the thinking stage and allow the etiquette boundary to protect us, then we'll be safe from committing offenses, and our spiritual creeper will be able to grow healthy and happy for many, many years to come. I think this is one of the main reasons, one of the most obvious reasons why persons who come here from India looking for wealth and looking for the American nightmare, the American dream, they're looking for the American dream, and they realize it is a nightmare most when they see their children become disrespectful. I had experience in giving classes some places where I'm talking to groups of people, and when it comes to discussing their children, they want their children to take the Western everything, the money, the drive, the education, the technology, but they don't want them to take the attitude. And unfortunately, it's very difficult to get one without the other. So trying to... Very auspicious sign outside. It's sunny and raining at the same time. That's very auspicious. So we should be cautious that we remain respectful amongst ourselves. Yes, I already saw a hand up. I didn't even finish. But okay, are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
It's a bit of a devil's advocate question. Uh-huh. I believe that at one point, Prabhupada began to consider that the Vaishnava etiquette boundary was not really so appropriate for many of us. And that Varnashram Dharma boundary would be better suited.
Well, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. They're not mutually exclusive. Within Varnashram, there's tremendous amounts of boundaries that have to do with elders, that have to do with spiritual advancement, and other criterion for offering respect. It's all built into the Varnashram system. So I don't, you'd have to give me a better reference than I think Prabhupada at some point I heard. But at the same time, I don't see them as mutually exclusive. I see them as very inclusive. We practice Daiva Varnashram. Never will we practice Varnashram without the Daivi part. So if we have the Daivi Varnashram, that includes Vaishnava etiquette. And we may have to modify it to some extent because, for instance, it may be inappropriate to fall down like a rod in front of somebody in an elevator in the hospital, for example. So we might have to, you know, modify things. But in our heart, we have to maintain a respectful attitude. And understand that, you know, Yudhisthira was respectful even to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra had already done, even to Duryodhana, what to speak of Dhritarashtra, he had already done many things that indicated quite clearly that he was not in a good place in terms of his own showing respect, and you see it here. So, but Yudhisthira wasn't willing to sacrifice his own proper behavior because somebody else was acting inappropriately. Now, people say sometimes that he went overboard, and that's another discussion. And maybe we have to understand where we go overboard, and we can reason in favor of, you know, proper behavior or appropriate behavior. We have, you know, like the idea of lying to save the life of somebody or just telling the police this guy is hiding. So there may be a good lie, there may be a good modification. But we have to use our intelligence to do that and be careful that we don't do it based on envy. If we do it based on envy or any lower nature consideration, we're in trouble. So we have to be very careful. If we do modify, if we do change, we have to change for the right reason, not the wrong reason. Janmashtami, and then Sankalpa.
One kind of dilemma that a devotee faces is that the capacity to offer respect to others is actually a function of spiritual advancement. So, you know, there's a, you know, if one's not so advanced, then...
This
you know,
is a case of fake it till you make it.
Anyway, you know, that's really the best way to observe etiquette is to become advanced. You know?
Yeah, of course, but at the same time, even more so, like a baby is protected by a playpen because they're not advanced enough to know where their boundaries are. So we are protected by Vaishnava etiquette because we're not advanced enough to know where our boundaries are. The better we stay within those boundaries to the extreme than we step outside them based on our immaturity, based on envy. Ultimately, the only thing that surpasses Vaishnava etiquette is love and devotion. That's the only time we have permission, and that's the only time Krishna gives permission for a devotee to transgress etiquette. And we see it with Arjuna. You read it the other day in your class, or you spoke it the other day, the 11th canto, the 11th chapter verses from Bhagavad Gita. Please forgive me because I sat on the same bed as you, and I called you by, you know, common names. I insinuated by calling you Yadava that I was a king and you couldn't be a king. So, you know, we were a backslapping familiar. But Krishna accepted that behavior and didn't get offended because there was love there. And so when there's love there, then we can act in a different way. Then the high court judge can get on all fours and carry somebody on his back, and that's fine. But if I go into a court and I treat the high court judge with disrespect, then I'm in contempt of court and I get arrested and fined and blah, 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 blah. So There is a permission to transgress, but it's a very high level of spiritual advancement. We see even with Lord Chaitanya, right? With Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya. He would always offer respects to Advaitacharya, even to the point where Advaitacharya had to go through this whole masquerade in order to get Lord Chaitanya to become angry enough at him to beat him up. And because the Lord Chaitanya was so fixed on showing the appropriate behavior to this senior person. And the senior person saw Lord Chaitanya as senior, and he was like, I can't deal with this, you know. And even Sanatan didn't very much like the way Lord Chaitanya dealt with him either, for the same reason. So there's a door that opens when one has bhakti. Yes. Wait a minute. Sankalpa's next. Sorry. Go ahead. Sankalpa Prabhu.
Even though our literature says that there's no reaction in Kali Yuga for what we think, but really from my own experience, usually people pick up on what you think, especially devotees. Mm. And usually the whatever you think, if you think more than once about something or twice, then eventually it shows up in what you do and what you what you say. So you can't really avoid that. So I think we always have to be very careful.
That's very true. And often what we think comes to feeling and willing. So it goes beyond that. But karmically, Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, we don't get karma for just a thought. Whereas in other yugas, even just thinking badly about somebody gets a karmic reaction.
So what do we do with we know we have certain thoughts we shouldn't have because we know better from what we heard in Krishna consciousness. Still, thoughts come up, envy does come up.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with that if it hasn't, the change hasn't happened on the heart level, really?
Well, there's different prescriptions, but that's a whole other class. I mean, one thing is you can serve that person. You can beg Krishna for realization. You can chant better. I mean, there's lots of things you can do, but don't act on it. Stay within the boundaries of Vaishnava etiquette. Don't act on it. Don't hit send. Write the letter and throw it away. Even the materialists tell you to do that when you're angry. Write a letter, get it all out, tear it up, throw it away. Don't send it. Now with the mercy of internet, don't hit send because then it's gone.
And then there's another part of this question. So if we know somebody or we are with somebody or we interact with a person who we know he or she is envious of us or me, then it is because of envy. So how do we deal with that person? Do we confront that person, disturb that person, or shall we just say, oh, it's my conditioning that I even think about,
well,
that I even think that person
the
is
right envy? Answer for me to say from here is be humble, take a humble position. And if necessary, avoid association with that person because if there's no benefit to either one by the association, then don't associate intimately. Just keep your association simple. Pran Govinda Prabhu had his hand up, and then Srivandam.
Very nice class. Thank you.
Nice.
I was thinking discussion with Siddha Swarup Prabhu. Prabhupada gave a nice definition of envy.
Discussion with
Siddha Swarup Prabhu in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
So Siddha Swarup Prabhu asked Prabhupada, why did you mention that we are envious to Krishna? Prabhupada says, then he says, what's the definition of envious mean? Prabhupada says, when someone has a rightful ownership to possess something, but in your mind you are not allowing him to have it, even though he has a rightful, Krishna has given. So that is envious.
Hmm.
And then he asked, so but ultimately is all sanction permitted by Krishna? He said, yes, we all are envious to Krishna. That is the root. All this envious to other person actually boils down to enviousness to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
I have one little question about this boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in one Patravali says that fence is required for a little plant to grow, and that is boundary is very compulsory for every devotee. There should be a boundary. But when that plant grows to a bigger, that boundary could be an obstacle to in the growth.
Well, that's in terms of Krishna Leela. And that's exactly what I was talking to Janmastami Prabhu about.
Okay.
That, you know, when there's awe and reverence in the relationship of Mother Jasoda with Krishna, it's an obstacle. There's an obstacle there. And, you know, to some extent, maybe with very advanced devotees, when they have to curtail, like this morning, Mukhya Prabhu was reading about Prabhupada going into ecstasy. But his request was, don't get into that. That's not my thing, you know. It's not like I'm trying to walk on water so that you'll love me. I don't. That's not who I am. So, we obstacle comes when the devotee feels like I have this desire to serve Krishna in a certain way, but there are people here that I have to be controlled. So it's an obstacle. But at the same time, the only time that obstacle can be removed legitimately is when there's true love, when there's real bhakti there. If there's no real bhakti there, better to keep err on the side of caution. For us, the maybe not for yourself, but for the rest of us, the err on the side of caution is very important. Someone was over here, she can go in. Then we're going to have to stop because it's getting kind of late. I have a conference call. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mother. Wonderful class. Thank you so much. As you were talking about getting too familiar with the deity, I was reminded of an incident which was related many years ago to us about these devotees going to Vrindavan and visiting some Brajavasi's house. And they said there was no prasadam to serve because Gopal was very naughty today. And he did not get any food.
Jamuna tells that story.
And so I was thinking, when I was told that, like, wow. And actually, the devotee was telling us, he said that they were like, whoa, far out. And but yeah, I wanted to just tell you, just share with everybody. But then, as you were saying, with love, when there is love, then Krishna will accept it. Because if they are seeing him as their child and they're serving him every day, their more main focus every morning they get up to serve Gopal, so they're seeing the Leela and they're seeing, so maybe that love is Krishna is accepting that too, that okay, I was naughty. And
if they really have that qualification,
yes,
it's true.
So we can come to that position, and but we can also appreciate what they are,
and we also have to realize that very much of our position is also dictated by the fact that we're preachers. So it's not just what feels good to us, it's also the messages that we send to other people who will read our messages and may not be able to understand everything. And so, like Prabhupada said, don't broadcast that I was crying that or I went into ecstasy. That's not what we're talking about. So because we're preachers. So in order to preach, we have to be very careful that we don't, you know, overreact. Lord Chaitanya also controlled his ecstasies in front of others. There's many examples. And so sometimes, you know, that adhikar may be there, and sometimes that adhikar might be feigned. It's difficult for us to say. Yes, last one. Vrindavan.
If you catch somebody taking something from the deities that belong to the deities and you confront them and yell at them, is that okay?
If they're stealing from the deities, you can confront them. I'm not sure yelling at them is the best idea, but certainly doing something about it. It depends who you are, and it depends what your position is. If your position is, you know, you're the head pujari and you see someone walking out with something that belongs to Krishna, then you have a right to confront them. If you're the temple president. If you're not, if you're somebody that that person may not see as a authority, then you might go to somebody who is an authority and say, you know, I have to report that I saw this happening and I think it should be dealt with. You might not take it into your own hands. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.